This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is That's What She Said.
In season 2, episode 15, Boys and Girls, as we meet the warehouse at about 10:29, Michael Scott says,
"Now, you may look around and see two groups here, white collar, blue collar, but you know, I don't see it that way. And you know why not? Because I am collar blind." How are you doing? Hi.
Hi. Doing great. How are you?
I'm great.
Happy New Year, Daryl.
We're back in our original seats. I think the last time we were here, we had swapped seats for feng shui purposes.
It was unsettling, but maybe we'll try it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're back in our original seats here. It's been a little while. We've been busy.
What's been going on?
Been working. Weddings have been going on. That's what's been going on for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last time me and Rachel hung out, we watched Harry Potter.
And actually, here's my Dundee for the week.
Okay.
Kayla and I, my friend and I, watched the next movie.
The fourth one. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because everyone, we watched The Prisoner of Azkaban, arguably the better one. The of all of the series. One. Yes. Yeah. So you watched The Goblet of Fire, which is arguably my number two favorite.
It was. She was saying the first two for her are up there just because of how they set up the story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, they're so young, right?
I know.
First two. But it's true because Dobby in the second one.
Dude. Like Dobby is the GOAT. Not going to lie. I love that motherfucker. Sorry, I didn't mean to cuss. But I love him. And the fact that all he needs in life is a freaking sock to be happy and free. Like, I think we should all be more like Dobby.
And Joe walked in as we were, and he was like, why don't the house elves run the shit? He's like,
honestly,
they can do magic, but I forgot they cut out, I forget what movie it's in, when Hermione, like, orchestrates the house elf
alliance
rebellion.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Kayla was like, yeah, it's not in the movie.
It's it might not have been at the all.
Fourth, or is it later ones? I forget.
It might be like the fifth or sixth or something. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean.
But Kayla
that
was
whole
like,
thing is
yeah, they
spliced
took it out of the movies. So Joe didn't read the book, so he wouldn't know. But he's like, shouldn't they be like, they can do magic, no wands. Mm-hmm. They seem pretty like powerful, but they're
servants.
Enslaved.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so that was my Dundee. Love Harry Potter.
I love that. I love that so much. Amazing. Do you have any roast for this week aside from the weather? I feel like we're always roasting the weather out here every season.
We do. No.
Okay. Yeah, some good things that happened to me this week. Today, have you ever heard of TaskRabbit?
Yes.
Today, I was my own TaskRabbit.
You were your own TaskRabbit.
I put together a huge bed frame by myself with the help of Gerald, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Naturally.
That is impressive.
Thank you. I did have you on call just in case I needed help.
I was ready. I don't have the skills, but I'll bring the positive energy.
Fair enough.
But you didn't even need it. You did it all
by
yourself.
Yeah. You know, I think I got it done in like an hour, which I was giving myself like 2 hours to do it because I just didn't know what to expect.
And you just put on some tunes and...
Yeah, I was expecting something to go very wrong in the building of this bed frame, but it actually went great. So
it needs to be structurally sound too. It's not like, oh, it can lean a little one way. Like it really needs to be set up well.
Yeah. Because I could just picture like... I'm just sleeping and all of a sudden, doof, like my mattress falls through the frame. Yes. Like that's, you know, I'm just picturing worst case scenario. We'll see. Tonight's the first night I'll be sleeping on it. So I'll report back.
Fingers crossed.
That. Yeah.
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 I built, when I started working from home more regularly, mm-hmm. I bought and assembled myself a standing desk.
Oh, I love a standing desk.
So, right. So there's like electronics in it yeah. too. And it has to like push up.
Just so, like that.
That's how it sounds. So I was like, but it took me like 4 hours one night.
Oh my God.
I was like, there were so many parts.
I hate when there's like a bunch of tiny tools and the diagram looks like, I don't know, it was created by frickin' Einstein or something. Yeah. I'm like, I'm an average person. I can't figure this out.
I can barely read these instructions.
Literally, like, literally.
Yeah.
So I was proud of myself for that. That's my Dundee for the week. I put together a bed frame. So pretty good weeks overall.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Amazing. Well, we're going to get into this episode today. Starting off with some beat or bear.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Beat or bear. Are you ready, first
I'm
of all?
I'm so ready.
Okay, great. Okay, number one. Women in the workplace seminar. Beat or bear?
I'm going to say beat for the concept of it. But I have some notes that we'll discuss later about that.
Some footnotes.
Yeah.
All right. How about the guys in the workplace thing that happens in this episode?
I'm going to say a bear.
Yeah.
Because it was an afterthought.
Yeah. It was a reaction to the woman in the workplace.
Yes, exactly.
Which is set up because we needed it.
Correct.
Okay. How about the warehouse and the office bonding?
I'm going to say beat. I love this. And I'll expand on it later on in this podcast episode. But I kind of love it because everyone's getting to walk a mile in everyone else's shoes and kind of get, you know, an idea of what it's like to be a warehouse guy. And you know what I mean?
Michael actually takes off his shoes.
In fact.
And wants to switch with Lonnie.
He wants to wear the Tims.
The Tims.
Okay. I'm ready for the next one.
Number four is Pam's dream house.
With the terrace.
Plant flowers on it.
It's impractical. I live in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I want to give her a beat because I think we all have that dream house envisioned in our heads.
Yeah.
So I'll give her a beat for the dream.
What's in your dream house?
Definitely a sunroom.
Yeah, that's my number one. Not a terrace, a sunroom.
Definitely a sunroom and a freaking library. Like a Beauty and the Beast castle library. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like fair. Fireplace, one of those ladders that slides along the side of the wall.
Now we're getting back to Harry Potter. It's Ollivander's.
It's like the common room, basically. Yeah,
the Gryffindor common room.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, last but not least, beat or bear with the mayhem that happens in the warehouse.
I'm going to say bear because essentially this is like the warehouse version of the attack on accounting where they throw everything on the floor.
The raid.
Yeah. And it's terrible. It's worse, in fact, because it's dangerous.
It's at a higher level.
In the warehouse setting. Yeah. So bear for that.
Okay, great. All right, let's go through some of the plot points.
So Jan's in the office today to talk to all the women in the office about what, Rachel?
They're changing bodies.
That's right.
No. She's there to have them go through a training about inequality, sexism, all that sort of stuff in the workplace. It seems pretty corporate mandated.
Mm-hmm. They talk about their goals and aspirations and what they want to do in life, in work.
She has them go around and say what they're good at. And my favorite part is when Meredith says, "Hi, I'm Meredith, and I'm good at supplier relations."
And in 5 years, Meredith wants to be 5 years sober. Four and a half.
So obviously with this cast of characters, it gets a little bit off track. Mm-hmm. So Pam's taking notes, like a
supposedly
good secretary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kelly's there, and she's just so excited about girl talk and clothes and makeup. And Phyllis also loves girl talk.
She does. She gets very excited in her talking head. She's like, "I love girl time. I love girl talk."
You know who doesn't, though?
Angela.
She's like, "I don't know why I need this."
She does not want to be there. She's like, "I'm in the best relationship of my life."
The other part I like is when Jan's talking about, you know, dress for the job you want.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela goes, apparently from her outfit, Jan aspires to be a whore. She's wearing like
a knee-length skirt.
A knee-length skirt and stockings.
Pantyhose. Yes.
Yeah. She has a little V-neck in her top, yes. I guess. So funny.
It's great. So the women gathering in the office is causing kind of a kerfluffle amongst the men in the office. Dwight says it's a terrible idea because then all of their cycles will sync up and it'll wreak havoc on the plumbing. So that's an issue.
According to Dwight, that's an issue. And Michael's feeling very left out.
For sure. For sure. He's like staring at them through the conference room, like blinds. He keeps like hovering.
Interrupting. And Jan's like, uh-huh. Get out of here. We uh-huh. don't need you.
He like sits down at the table and he's like, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. They did this in Albany or wherever. And he's like, you know, they turned the break room into a lactation room. Ugh, yuck.
Disgusting. So Jan has to put her foot down a little to get Michael out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, we learn that through a talking head, Jan says the training, the intention is to find strong female candidates or females who show strong potential.
Right.
To go back to corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them might be Pam.
Yeah. Her aspiration to do like art and design comes up. And Jan actually says there might be an opportunity for her to be in the design program.
Which is kind of cool that corporate like help. I don't know if they help pay tuition mm-hmm. or if they just help with, I don't know, but that they have this opportunity for this graphic design.
Exactly.
Internship. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And while Jan is kind of explaining it, Pam is making excuses,
mm-hmm.
like reasons that not to do it. And Jan's like, Pam, there's always a reason not to do something.
She looks her dead in the eyes.
Yes.
So you do get a little like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh. But so basically, Kelly gets everyone kind of off track because she does say, she's like, you know what I want? I want an SUV. I don't want to be one of those moms schlepping their kids around in a minivan. I want an SUV. And then so that gets everyone on like a materialistic
right
track of discussion.
More girl talk, less Jan running yes. a corporate session.
Exactly, exactly. And people are talking about houses with walk-in closets that they want and all this stuff. And then Pam talks about a house that she's always kind of dreamed of. It's got a terrace and outside the bedroom.
A garden.
And a garden.
And she says, oh, you know, it's kind of silly, mm-hmm. but it's just something I've always dreamed of. And then she gets serious and talks about, you know, also a husband I love, Roy.
Ugh.
And art and right. Yeah. Ugh. So there's some serious that comes out of it, too. Right. It's not just girl talk and dreams. It's like, oh, there might be a real opportunity for Pam.
For sure. For sure. So Jan tries to get the conversation back on course, and she starts talking about inequalities in the workplace as far as like pay and just different social situations, such as slang used to leave women out of business conversations using sports metaphors. And this is where Kelly jumps in, and she's like, well, what did Michael mean when he said he got to second base with you at Chili's?
And then she turns to the camera and winks mm-hmm. like she knew.
Mm-hmm.
And Jan's like, I don't know what context. And Kelly's like, oh, well, you said it's a sports metaphor, right? So could you explain to yes. me what that means?
Yes.
So all of a sudden, Jan's so in the good. Hot seat.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So she gets really flustered about this. And then her divorce comes up.
Oh, yeah.
They start asking her about her divorce. And Angela's like, you don't have kids, right? Thank God. Like, it just becomes a very, like, chaotic conversation. And you can tell Jan is so fed up with it. So then she calls for a break. She's like, everyone take five. And she goes down to the warehouse.
So the warehouse is the scene of this new guys in the workplace mm-hmm. group
mm-hmm.
that Michael has put together in protest of the women in the workplace.
On the fly, unplanned, totally uncoordinated. So when he was peeping in on the girls in the conference room and he got kicked out repeatedly, he came up with the idea to gather all the men in the office, right outside the conference room. And he was like, okay, guys, we're just going to get together. We're just going to get together. We're going to clap really loudly. We're going to clap and laugh really loud. And they're just like making noise outside the conference room to kind of compete with the girls.
So Jan says, get out of here, go downstairs, go to the warehouse. So all the guys except for Toby, because he hangs back.
Which no one notices he's gone all day, by the way.
Right. They all go down to the warehouse and learn how to be a quote-unquote real man for the day.
And they're going to learn all about the warehouse. And Ryan actually says, I would like to learn how an office works.
Just another distraction from work.
Yes, yes. So they're in the warehouse and they begin to bond with the warehouse workers. As they're making their way down, Dwight looks at the camera and says, remember on Lost when they met the others? That's my favorite line of this episode. It's so good.
Very distinct, the difference between the office environment and the warehouse environment. Yes. And Michael makes it so much more awkward.
Correct, as he naturally does. Michael also compares this meeting between departments to Meet the Fockers, but Meet the Warehouse. So that's I love that too. He starts introducing all the warehouse workers. He starts with Daryl. He asks Daryl what his biggest fear is. He's like, this is Daryl. Daryl, what's your biggest fear? And Daryl's like, my biggest fear is that someone will come and distract us from our work, which is exactly what they're doing.
Like deadpans, like no expression. There's Roy, obviously. Michael's like, oh, sort of a Brangelina thing, a ram.
Pam and Roy, a ram.
And Roy's like, why? Like, they all just are fed up with this man coming down.
Already.
Yeah. And then there's Lonnie. Big boy Lonnie.
Shouldn't you be upstairs with the rest of the women?
And Madge, who is the one female in the warehouse.
Yeah, which for some reason, Michael doesn't have a problem with her being there. Or I guess he just maybe overlooks her and...
I think he doesn't even notice her. A man?
I don't know.
Because at one point she's like, do you want me to leave? When they're talking about guy stuff. So yes. That's the warehouse. Michael is trying to run a seminar down there. He's like unbuttoned his shirt, three buttons, showing some chest hair. He tries to like make everyone comfortable and in turn makes them want to like smack him upside the head.
Correct. He's starting out this seminar saying like, what is our beef as men?
As human men.
Yes. And Lonnie's like, that's a great question, Hasselhoff.
And then Ryan's hand, the handshake with Ryan and Daryl. He like, he's like, yeah, like Ryan's hands, his hands are soft. Like he's a pussy. And he's like, makes him shake Daryl's grizzled paw, or whatever he calls it, in front of the cameras.
Not the grizzled paw.
He's like, do it again. Camera, zoom in.
Oh my God.
Pan in on that.
And it's just, it's kind of just a chaotic social interaction between these two worlds. And Roy actually approaches Jim also.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, about his crush on Pam. And he says that
because that came out after the secret episode.
Correct.
So it's been a little bit, folks. So quick reminder.
Yes.
Right. Jim told Michael on the booze cruise he had a crush on Pam.
Yep.
And then Michael couldn't keep that secret for more than one episode. We don't know how long it was. And it got around. And then Jim and Pam eventually reconciled, talked about it, and was like, oh, it was an old crush, whatever.
Right.
But Roy is now hearing about it and wanted to let Jim know he heard about it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. And so Roy is telling Jim that he's glad Pam has a friend so she doesn't blab to him about work when she comes home, basically.
Cool, cool, cool. And Kevin's like, I got your back, Jim.
Oh my God, Kevin.
So there's a lot of manly stuff. Some tussles over girls, shaking hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they're talking about women and Michael, of course, brings this up because he's like, such a ladies' man, not. But he's like, you know, what about women? What about women? And then it like escalates somehow, and they begin comparing warehouse salaries to Michael's salary.
Oof.
And that's when the thought of a union comes about.
The warehouse guys are like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Michael just told us we work a lot harder than they do, and we get paid a lot less. Mm-hmm. So let's band together, let's form a union. And they're all riled up.
Yep.
Michael can't say no.
Exactly. Michael is trying to play both sides here. And he's just kind of like silently going along with it, even though it's a terrible idea. I also would like to point out when they're talking about the pay discrepancies between the departments, it actually does cut to the conference room where the women are, and Jan starts talking about pay inequality between men and women. Mm. I just think that's an interesting, like, filming.
So it shows, like, the duality.
Yes.
That's really interesting because there's so many levels there to pay disparity.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's race and gender and, like, all these things coming up.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. So, yeah. I mean, throughout this episode, we're kind of flip-flopping back and forth between, like, the conference room and the warehouse.
Right.
And so,
since the upstairs workers are now downstairs, they're, like, what, unpacking box, like, loading shipments onto a truck.
Yeah, and they're actually unpacking the truck that the warehouse just wrapped up and packed.
Yeah.
So they're actually causing more work for the warehouse, and unfortunately.
Just, everything grinds to a halt because they needed to have a men in the workplace day, which the whole reason we have women in the workplace, right, is because the workplace is a place designed by and for men.
Correct. Correct. And also, it's really irritating, I have to imagine, from the warehouse's perspective, that this was an unplanned thing. And they just came down into the warehouse like, hey, we're doing this thing.
With the cameras.
Yeah. Yeah. So eventually, Jan comes down, as we mentioned. Jan comes down to the warehouse after she is being questioned about her divorce in the conference room. She comes down to the warehouse because she knows about the union.
Well,
Michael ended up telling her.
Tries to get her to help in the worst way. He's like whispering to her in the middle of her doing the seminar. They're talking in like gritted teeth to each other.
Yeah. What are the options here?
Don't talk to me like that.
So
Jan's going to just do it herself.
Exactly. Exactly. She came down to squash that union BS, and Michael is literally just standing behind like a stack of mops trying to hide the whole time because he doesn't want to take either side.
He can't take the heat, but he stays in the kitchen.
He does. And in this case, he makes an absolute mess of the kitchen because let's talk about his warehouse mayhem really quick.
Oh, boy.
Michael's terrible.
Warehouse mayhem. It's actually like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
If the kid had a forklift and was destructive.
That is very true. So like throughout the whole warehouse seminar thing, like as we're cutting back and forth between like the conference room and the warehouse, it'll like show Michael just being really destructive at certain points in the episode.
He
like random stuff.
Yeah, like, he's just like erasing things they have written down, right? Just not letting actual work get done. He hops on the equipment.
Yes.
He's messing everything up. Daryl's worst nightmare, basically.
Literally. I don't even know how they didn't like stop him from getting in the forklift.
Sooner.
Like exactly. Like they had to have known this is where it was gonna go, you know?
So Michael's just tearing down shelves.
He literally knocked over like a row of shelves, and also he threw a big bag of packing peanuts in front of a fan and pretended like it was snowing.
Happy New Year, Daryl.
And just like made a complete mess. Dwight is like making snow angels in it on the floor.
It's a hot mess. Oh, Dwight. Speaking of Dwight, because the men are bonding down here, they have one real bonding moment over guns, right?
Of course.
So there's a big joke about
naturally.
That.
Naturally.
And Dwight gets his spud gun from his car and shoots it through the window of Daryl's office.
Oh, my God.
Just furthering the destruction.
Like, not only just making a mess, but actually doing permanent damage to this
also,
office
space. Also, where was he aiming?
That's also what I wonder. Because, like, there's no way he was aiming for anything but the window.
Yeah.
And also, do we think he shoots beets through that rather than spuds?
Beets would look like they'd splat more than a potato.
Yeah, they definitely would. I just imagine him and Moe's like
beets. Also, why was it in his car?
Yeah, and I'm surprised he didn't call it a beet gun. You know,
a spud gun.
So, amongst all that, Roy does actually end up attacking Jim.
Yeah,
let's just talk about that for a second.
So, remember Pam's graphic design potential internship?
Yep.
So, she talks to Jim about it at some point throughout the day. And Jim's like, that sounds so cool. Like, you should do it. Mm-hmm. And she's like a little bashful, but very excited.
Yeah.
She's like, really cool.
Uh-huh.
And then we don't hear the conversation between her and Roy.
Mm-hmm.
But she looks upset. He's shaking his head, kind of walks out.
Right.
So presumably Roy said, heck no.
No. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Roy down in the warehouse kind of gets like really intimidating with Jim.
Yeah.
Right. Doesn't he walk up to him?
He does. And he's like, hey, Albert,
what's your problem, man? He's like about to like Daryl holds him back.
You tell Pam what to do now or whatever.
Yeah. So it gets pretty tense. And, you know, Daryl's like really talking Rory down.
Yeah.
Jim's like, I was just giving her my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
But they kind of get into it and it's tense. And then Michael, after the danger's gone, Michael's like, come on, guys, break it up.
After the danger's gone.
He's like standing in the back of the truck to avoid being in the middle of it.
Yes.
So it's a big, intense moment.
It is. And then, of course, Michael, as usual, wants to like, you know, clear
smooth
the air.
It over.
Yes. He becomes the great equalizer by getting pizza. Because you know what? Black people love pizza. White people love pizza.
Do black people like pizza? And then it goes to a shot of Lonnie, like, chewing down pizza. He's like, yeah.
It's so good.
So it ends on a funny note, but lots of tension. And then, obviously, at the end, they come back together. Men in the workplace, women in the workplace. Little more awkward between Ram and Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. In the kitchen, Jim and Pam kind of have, like, a little awkward disagreement about Pam's, you know, dreams of doing art and design and also doing the program. Cause he's like, Pam, you got to take a chance on something sometime. And are you going to be a secretary forever? And she's like, I'm fine with my choices.
It is kind of like,
it's intense a little bit.
Yeah. And I would also, you can see she gets defensive.
Yes.
And understood.
Yes.
Because he really does say like, so you're not doing it. Like, you're just going to be here your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? Like, obviously, it's because he wants the best for her, but it's rough.
Right.
It is rough.
And they're almost kind of fighting, like, they're in a relationship.
Married.
Exactly. Exactly. Foreshadowing. But, yeah, so that's an interesting moment. And so I think they kind of end their day, like, just off. Like, their dynamic is off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, so that was Boys and Girls.
Boys and Girls.
We learned a lot about our changing bodies.
And everything in between.
We learned how to run a warehouse, a waffis, if you will. So that's great. Let's do trivia.
Yes.
Okay, it's time for some trivia.
This episode was written by BJ Novak.
Mm.
And as we know, Paul Lieberstein plays Toby.
Mm-hmm.
So just like in Booze Cruise, you see how Toby evades being in the plot as part of the show.
Right.
But obviously, Paul Lieberstein needed to spend more time in the writer's room.
Ah.
So they actually sort of write him out of the action of the episode.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I also was kind of thinking, like, in this episode, particularly Boys and Girls, him being gone and then everything that happens in the warehouse and in the girls' meeting, too, it's like, it's so symbolic for the lack of, like, I don't know, professional morals.
Control.
Yes, professional morals and just, like, the absence of, like, structure and order in, like, an ethical kind of way.
Yeah, the HR person.
Yes, and he, like, no one notices that he's gone. Like, it's, nobody notices. And I just thought that was, like, as you said in the trivia, it's for logical reasons that he was, you know, written out of the bulk of the episode, but I also think that there's kind of that symbolic undertone
there.
Yes, yes, 100%. So the genesis for this episode came from an idea that Angela Kinsey and Jenna Fischer had while spending time together on the set of this series, which I love because I think there's been a few other things that they have collaborated on that have contributed to some of the storyline. Like, I think with sexual harassment.
Yes, that's right.
It kind of, they kind of you know, added some of their ideas from previous experience of working, you know, in offices and stuff like that. So,
and they're obviously still working together on Office Ladies.
Exactly. Exactly.
So a long-standing collaboration.
Yes.
So you mentioned that the scenes cut back and forth between the warehouse and the ladies in the conference room. And there's quite a few of back and forth that sort of tie the story together, like you said, with the pay disparity. Mm-hmm. So one of them is when Pam is telling the cameras, you know, I don't really see how I fit in with these ladies. Mm-hmm. I guess the person that I have the most in common with is... And then it cuts to the warehouse.
Yes.
And Rory's going, Jim, like, yes. help her, whatever. Heard you had a crush on Pam. So implying that she was going to say Jim.
Yes.
Right? And then there's another one with Angela. So remember when she says she's in the healthiest relationship of her life?
Yes.
So it cuts it with footage of her and Dwight, like, not acknowledging each other.
Yes, yes.
So it's humorous.
100%.
But they do it quite a few times in this one where the doc crew sort of writes the story on its own instead of relying on the specific scripted parts.
Right, exactly. And I love that about this episode.
Me too.
It's so good. So thoughtfully filmed.
I just realized the sporting metaphor too. Because Stanley's like, oh, this here is a run-out-the-clock situation. Yes. And then Jan's like, sporting metaphors is one way women are left out of. So it really shows in real time.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is.
It's so good. I love that. So Pam's monologue about reading about a girl who lived in a house with a terrace was based on a real book from the Choose Your Own Adventure series that Jenna Fisher read as a kid, which I thought was interesting.
I love that.
Yeah, in her talking head during the girl's time, she talks about how she read about this girl who had a terrace outside of her bedroom and she planted flowers on it and like all this stuff. And that's where her inspiration for her dream house came from, was this book, apparently, from Choose Your Own Adventure.
That's so sweet.
I know. A real tie. I love that.
So this is my last piece of trivia that I have.
Okay.
When Kelly asked Jan about second base...
Mm-hmm.
She turns to the camera, but then she winks with, like, her left eye that's not facing the camera.
Really?
So she, like, turns her head, but then she winks with, like, the other
eye. The opposite eye. That's so Kelly, I feel like.
I always think that's funny. I'm like, it's not the one.
Do you think it was intentional?
I don't know.
Some people can only wink with one eye, you know?
Right. Maybe that was it.
That's funny. I feel like it fits Kelly's character, though.
It does.
Yeah.
Just to wink with the eye facing the person she's talking about.
Okay. Scenes were filmed where Dwight brought his spud gun to the men's meeting and wreaked havoc, like even more so than just on Daryl's office. But they were actually cut from the original broadcast because they upstaged the other parts of the story.
Oh.
I want to see that footage. I need that footage.
I need that footage.
I got to have that footage.
I need it.
I can only imagine what Dwight did with that spud gun throughout the day.
Okay, actually, just one more.
Okay.
So, remember when they talk about unionizing, and then Jan goes down and tells the warehouse crew, you'll all be fired if you think about unionizing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, it's illegal for companies to retaliate against their workers for unionizing.
Oh my god.
So I don't know if it's because of the time period it was.
True.
But that's absolutely not something you can say, say. Yeah.
Another example of why Toby should have been there to mediate all this BS.
Toby could have saved the day here.
Literally. All right. Are you ready to share?
Your coal walk.
Piping hot coal walk.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
So, my coal walk is red flag, Roy.
Similar to, but not the same as body bag Barbie. We have red flag, Roy.
He is named as such for his toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate when he yells at Jim for something that's between him and Pam.
Correct.
Like, it's a very, he said, she said, sort of through the grapevine. Pam probably said, oh, well, Jim said it was a good idea.
Right.
And Roy got mad. So, I don't know. There's a lot of egos floating around. But for me, that's like a huge red flag that he, like, first of all, did that. Second of all, told her no. Yeah. Like, told, like, she was excited about something. He's like, no, like, can't do, or whatever he said.
She convinced him. He convinced her out of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Huge red flag.
Yeah.
Giant.
It's also annoying that, like, he tried to kind of be amicable with Jim, and then it ends up getting ruined at, towards the end of the episode when he comes in, well, like, hey, Albert.
Oh, that's funny. You had a crush on her, but now that... And they hang out all day.
I know.
So it's like, yeah, she clearly talks to him, and he's like, oh, mm-hmm. good, I'm so glad you talk, you know.
Exactly.
She has someone to talk to, and yeah. then it's like, well, don't talk to her.
Right.
Like, big red flag for me. Just all around weird.
Well, and also seems like... He realizes that if Pam goes away to art school or to do this internship or whatever, like, there's an insecurity there. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why he doesn't want her to do it, you know? Like,
right.
Because she would be an independent woman.
Right.
You know? At that point.
A woman of the workplace. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The, so Allie, that's... the Allie McBeal woman, the I like to call her.
Yeah.
And that's then, a good one.
You know, off of that, there's green flag Jan.
Stop.
In this episode, because I love that Jan is pushing Pam to this training program.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, you know, Pam starts, well, oh, the weekends aren't good, like, cost money. And Jan's like, well, you know, corporate could help you out and this and that.
Yeah.
And she's making excuses. And Jan, I love that. She looks her dad in the eye. She's like, there's always a million reasons not to do something.
Yes.
Like, she gave her a little, like, honey, like,
I need to do this.
Right. Yeah. And this is an opportunity. And I just love that for Jan.
I do, too. I do, too. And also, I feel like in a time, like, you know, in the early 2000s, I feel like trying to establish a career in art wasn't taken as seriously. Correct. And so for a corporate...
Right.
You know, representative to be encouraging that and supporting that.
Her.
Yeah, is pretty impeccable.
And she really kind of perked up when they're all like, oh yeah, Pam's real good at art. Yes. Like, they're all like hyping this young woman up.
Yes.
And she's like, hey, we do this thing. I mean, it's just, it's kind of cool to see that it was actually meant to help them.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think it, I don't know, something about Jan, it, something about it being Jan, like, I think if it was like David Wallace going in there and doing it, he would be like, oh, we don't need her doodles, like, you know what I mean?
He'd be like, this is a home run, and Pam would be like, what does that mean?
Sports metaphor does not compute.
Does not compute. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That is
the
Jan.
Symbolism. It's just, I don't know. It's good. It's
women
so well written.
Women.
Yes, 100%.
So those are my coal walks. What are yours?
I love that.
Because
so,
I know you have 9 3/4.
Listen, we're not going to Hogwarts today. I only have one. Mm. Okay. Technically, I only have one. I already let one slip earlier. My first one was originally going to be about Toby, his absence, and then the lack of, like, HR standards and professionalism.
Okay.
I already let that one slip. But the other one that I have is also a symbolism one here. So Pam's pipe dream house is symbolic for Jim, and also the juxtaposition of, like, her and Roy's relationship, you know?
Ooh, do tell.
So basically, she's talking about this house, right? This dream house, something that she's always wanted, aka maybe someone or a husband or a partner who is supportive and amazing and, like,
listens.
A dream partner. Exactly. Mm. And then she also says in the same breath that this house is not practical. It's not practical. And to me, that's like the idea of maybe leaving Roy and pursuing Jim is impractical. She's already engaged.
Yeah.
She's in too deep. She wouldn't want to get into a relationship with someone she works with, maybe. Like, maybe that's what she's kind of telling herself, you know?
She also at one point says to the cameras, oh, well, they don't even make houses like that in Scranton. And then she starts crying.
Yes.
She's upset that Roy said no. But I think that you're onto something there, right? There's some dream she talks herself out of.
Uh-huh.
Like,
exactly.
She can't have or isn't deserving of or whatever.
Exactly. And also when her and Jim are arguing, he's saying, you got to take a chance on something sometime. And to me, that their whole conversation is about
them.
Them. It's about them. It's not about her dream, you know, it's about them.
Mm.
Jim's like, deep. Take a chance on me, you know?
That's amazing. I think you're onto something there.
I don't know if I was looking into it too deep or what, but that's what I feel.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Pam and Jim, we love them. Some
great coal walks. Yes, we do. It's a squee moment, if you will.
Squee.
All right. I think it's time to award some Dundies to this episode.
Oh, I am ready for this one.
Okay.
My Dundee for boys and girls is the blow up doll.
Yes.
That we met in sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
She is in the warehouse. Uh-huh. She makes an appearance, I think, for the first time.
Yeah. Since sexual harassment. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because sexual harassment is season two. Yeah.
And then Michael comes down and, oh, isn't this funny? Like, squeezes her butt and turns it around, and there's a picture of his face on the face of the blow-up doll.
The warehouse guys taped a picture of his face onto her face, so when he turned it around, he was like,
oops. Yeah. And they're all giggling. But she makes a comeback. She hangs out in the warehouse with all the boys.
Honestly, I kind of love her. I mean, her origin story, like, she came from Todd Packer's trunk, we have to believe.
And who knows where she was before that?
You never know.
So this gets the blow-up doll Dundee because, like, blow-up doll returned. It's like Chucky or something. She keeps coming back.
So true. So true.
What's your Dundee?
So my Dundee is the bonding day Dundee.
Mm.
I do think that in every company, all departments should have to spend a day in the other's shoes. In the other's Tims, if you will.
If you will.
Lonnie's Tims, if you will. I don't know. I kind of love the idea of this episode.
But they would swap, right? They wouldn't just infiltrate.
They would swap. I mean, yeah, okay. Ideally. But I kind of love, of course, Michael's intent behind this, you know?
Right.
Obviously, when it comes to fruition, exactly. But I don't know. I like the idea of the girls bonding together too and getting to know each other, because I do feel like all the women are kind of scattered in different departments in the office, so mm-hmm. they don't get to kind of bond.
They actually, maybe. They are all in different departments, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. None of them are in the same department.
Exactly. Yeah. Hmm. So I kind of love that they got their girl time. And also with Jan, like, I feel like it's kind of rare to be able to bond with someone from corporate. And then it's like another woman and
female.
She's, yeah, yeah.
Executive.
And then with the guys, I mean, you know, that is what it is. They ended up eating pizza together.
That's great. We love pizza.
Yes, yes. So this episode just gets the bonding day Dundee, even though Michael, as usual, just has to wreak havoc, but you know,
bonding
the intent day. The intent, of course,
you know, it kind of sounds fun when you put it that way.
I know. I mean, I kind of want to wreak havoc on a forklift.
Yeah. And then
not have to clean it up,
and then he leaves. Yeah. He's like, oh, we'll get someone to clean that up.
Michael, we're the ones that gonna clean it up.
Yeah. So he leaves Daryl in a very sad position.
I know,
but Daryl does say, hey Mike, this ain't over. So it's maybe so one of these days the warehouse will come back up to the office.
You never know. Foreshadowing. All right. Well, I think that was a great episode. Tune in for the next one. It's going to be season 2, episode 16, Valentine's Day.
Ooh, right after Boys and Girls.
Yes. Okay. So you know where to find us, whatshesaidpod.dm on Instagram, or whatshesaidpod.dm@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. I don't know. That's just the quick and dirty.
That's what she said.
Straightforward and...
Could he have been more in the way of that?
Oh my God. Why couldn't he just go up right there? Oh my God. Anyway, cut. Thanks a lot, Gerald. Oh, yes, because,
I was just Gerald gonna say, in the
eating,
kitchen.
Gerald's eating his brown rocks. Om nom nom. Hey, Gerald.
The blow up doll.
Yes.
That we met in sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
It, she, them, he.
It's so she? Funny. I think it's a she. I mean, she has boobs.
Yeah.
We're getting too far into this.
Boys and girls.